Okay, so we are talking about our doctrine, and we've been working through our own doctrinal statement. Today we want to talk about the doctrine of creation and man, the doctrine of creation and man, and basically defining what the Bible says here. I think there's some critical things in this area. Now, just a few words of review. We've talked about these subjects, the Bible, God, the Trinity, as basically a separate statement, then a statement about each of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's where we've been in the last several weeks. Now, I have this little statement. At this point, each of the statements that we're looking at, we're sort of observing, and they start to vary their approach. Now, you go through doctrinal statements, there is a general outline. Depending on the philosophy, usually either God is first or the Bible is first. Most Baptists will put the Bible first, and then the doctrine of God. And then there's various ways that the statements start to order the subject. So if you're comparing statements, sometimes you're going to have to jump around in the order. Now, in this particular case, we are at a point in the logic of theology where our own statement is lacking a key point, and that is creation. So that is where we're going to turn next for today in our study. So in our statement, we have only a brief reference in the doctrine of God. We believe in one true living God who exists eternally in three persons. They are equally perfect, and they execute distinct yet harmonious offices in the work of creation, redemption, and providence. And that's the only thing that we say about creation in our statement at the present time. Now, in the FBFI statement, creation is dealt with in their statement on the doctrine of man. We believe that man was created directly by God on day 6 of the creation week, in his image, and in a state of sinlessness. We believe that originally man freely chose to transgress the will of God, thereby incurred sin, condemnation, physical and spiritual death. So that man is a sinner by nature and by choice, completely depraved, destitute of any moral good, and utterly unable to merit God's favor or contribute to his salvation. So that's the FBFI statement. And that's their statement on man. So you see that creation is included there. Now, the Toronto Baptist Seminary statement has two sections, creation and then the fall of man, which I think sort of parallels what we're talking about here. We believe in the Genesis account of creation and that it is to be accepted literally and not allegorically or figuratively, that man was created directly in God's own image and after his own likeness. That man's creation was not by evolution or evolutionary change of species or development through interminable periods of time from lower to higher forms. That all animal and vegetable life was affected by special creation. And God's established law was that they should bring forth only after their kind. In the fall of man, we believe that man was created in innocence under the law of his maker, but by voluntary transgression fell from his sinless and happy state. In consequence of which, all mankind are now sinful and are sinners not by constraint but of choice, and therefore under just condemnation without defense or excuse. And that man in his natural state is in a condition of total depravity, by which we mean his natural, utter incapacity to receive the things of the Spirit of God apart from the quickening grace of the Holy Spirit. Now, at this point, I'll just note, I want to make some notes before, these are some observations before the observations. The Toronto statement, the Toronto Baptist Seminary is a thoroughly Calvinistic group. So there are some statements here at the end that relate to Calvinism. His natural utter incapacity to receive the things of the Spirit of God apart from the quickening grace of the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that man is separated from God. Man in his fallen state is unable to save himself and unable to grasp much of what God says in its fullest sense. But it's not quickening grace. See, quickening means regenerating. So the Calvinist believes in what they call the order of salvation, that a person is regenerated and then he believes. Okay, the full Calvinists, not all Calvinists believe it, but certain ones do. They call it the order of salvation. I press them on it. I say, well, how many seconds does this take? You know, before, when somebody's regenerated and then they believe, it was like 3 seconds or two, or is there any time interval, or what's the deal? And they get mad at me when I say that because I'm being smart, right? And they say, well, it's a logical order, not a chronological order. Okay? I say, well, if it's not actually a chronological order, then it doesn't exist, does it? Okay, so they have a problem with their theology, but they don't want for there to be any work in salvation. No, nothing that humans contribute to their salvation. That's what they want. But the thing that they fail to realize is that faith is not a work, and God said so in Romans 10. And Romans, it's absolutely clear. God doesn't, there's no merit in faith. And so it really doesn't matter. And all the logical exercises they're going to don't matter. And I think it causes them to press their point too far. So, aside from that, I'm not criticizing them. I understand what they're saying. In a sense, I agree with it. But they would disagree with they would disagree with the sense that I would agree with it. Okay? I just want to point that out. It's not a huge deal. The big thing we're talking about is creation and man today. Now, because our statement is brief, the FBFI statement is somewhat brief, I thought it's probably a good idea to go to the people who write about creation and see what their statements say. So I've added in their statements to compare as well. And you'll see that on your sheet. First, from Answers in Genesis, I checked Creation Ministries International. It appears that they have exactly the same statement. They were the same organization at one time. There's been a division. Anyway, the account of origins presented in Genesis is a simple but factual presentation of actual events and therefore provides a reliable framework for scientific research into the question of the origin and history of life, mankind, the earth, and the universe. The various original life forms, kinds, including mankind, were made by direct, creative acts of God. The living descendants of any of the original kinds, apart from man, may represent more than one species today, reflecting the genetic potential within the original kind. Only limited biological changes, including mutational deterioration, have occurred naturally within each kind since creation. The Great Flood of Genesis was an actual historic event, worldwide, global in its extent and effect. The special creation of Adam, the first man, and Eve, the first woman, and their subsequent fall into sin, is the basis of for the necessity of salvation for mankind. Now, I agree, I think, with all that's said here, but I'm not certain that in a doctrinal statement you need to include all of those factors. So just, I don't want to disagree with it, but I do want to point out that we don't have to have everything that they say in order to have a good statement. And then from the Creation Research, or Institute for Creation Research, all things in the universe were created and made by God in the 6 literal days of the creation work described in Genesis and confirmed in Exodus. The creation record is factual, historical, and perspicuous. That word means clear. Thus, all theories of origins or development that involve evolution in any form are false. All things that now exist are sustained and ordered by God's providential care. However, a part of the spiritual creation, Satan and his angels rebelled against God after the creation and are attempting to thwart his divine purposes in creation. The first human beings, Adam and Eve, were specially created by God, and all other men and women are their descendants. All right, so those are the statements. I'll just give you my observations, then I'll open it up for any comments that you would like to make. One of the priorities of this exercise is to correct deficiencies in our own statement. This area is one we neglected. So in our confused culture, a clear statement on creation is vital. We absolutely need a clear statement. And in one way or another, we have to add that to our statement, I believe. The FBFI statement outlines our essential beliefs on creation, focusing more on the doctrine of man, while the Toronto statement, seminary statement, I think, does better on expressing the truth about creation. And then, none of the statements surveyed deal much with God's creation of marriage or purpose in creating male and female. It is at this point that we need to make a statement concerning these matters. What I mean by that is, the FBFI statement, I didn't include this, but at the very end of its doctrinal statement, there's a clause that says, essentially, it's one sentence, we believe that God that God created marriage between one man and one woman, and that's basically it. It's just a simple statement about monogamous heterosexual marriage. But I think we actually need, in our current culture, we need a more explicit statement than that. And so I'll give you a suggestion about that as we go through this. All right, so any questions about what we've read so far? These statements or comments, things that you think are critical, important? Yes, Debbie.
I too like the statement of the
Toronto.
I think that's really good. And I think easy to understand for the average person.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, special creations. That means that God, God's direct creation. In other words, it's not by process. It's not that there's no evolutionary progression, right?
Special
creation. And direct creation might be a better way of saying that. Well, okay. Any other comments or questions? This might be a very short session.
On the just for my clarification on that same point D, just the front of it says affected by special creation, so all animals special rights. Does that mean like it's a result of special creation?
Well, affected means that God is the cause. Affected would mean he influenced it. See, so affected and affected, that particular word, because people get confused about that, I wouldn't use that word. I'd use a different word. Okay, Christy, that's who you are.
If I missed it, it's in there, forgive me.
Yes.
That verse,
like,
in Romans,
that
talks about how death through sin.
Yes.
Is that something that you would want to
maybe
particularly highlight?
Kind of
wrecks the
evolutionary thing? Yes. Well, it is mentioned in, it is referred to in the FBFI statement, when it says, thereby incurred sin, condemnation, physical and spiritual death. Okay, but it's not as explicit as it could be. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Yes, we need to address the gender issues. Yes. Yeah. Well, I do have a suggestion. We'll get to it. Okay. Don't read it ahead. Don't read ahead. Don't read ahead. Don't get excited. We want to stay where we are. All right, Rob? Well, I think that when these statements say 6 days, that usually eliminates the time span. I personally, the Bible doesn't explicitly say a specific time span. It is implied by the generations. People work it out by counting and calculation and so forth. And however, it doesn't specifically give us any kind of indication. And so I think it's better not to make a dogmatic statement on the age of the earth, but to insist on the 6 days, I think, is eliminates the long periods of time. Yeah, something like that, yeah. Yes, yes, something like that. Yes, Marilyn, you were going to say something. Well, what we see, we have that in the, see, in this, that's part of the doctrine of Scripture, of the Bible.
Yeah,
I understand that. But you don't want to mix your categories. And that would really fall under the doctrine of Scripture. We've already stated that. So I think that, remember, we're just trying to get to the basics of this one point. We're not trying to say everything there is to say about the point. We're trying to say the most important thing that we can unite around of what the Scriptures say about what the Bible teaches about creation. And so, I understand what you're saying, but I think we already have that. So, yes, let me think who you are just a second. Emily. I'm not sure what I was going to call you. Anyway, go ahead.
under the Toronto Baptist Seminary statement, I like the way they worded letter A.
Yeah.
And they clarify it to be accepted literally and not allegorically or figuratively. I think that's helpful.
Yes, I think that's extremely important in it as well. Yes. And which that does cover the same idea of authority, I think, to a certain extent.
Yeah,
all right.
B and C are very clear, too. Just really.
Yeah. Okay, any other comments?
Yeah, Debbie? Well, I know you said that you wouldn't want to put necessarily everything in the answers in Genesis statement into our own statement, but would it be appropriate to say we agree completely with something as a part of our statement?
Well, because if you're referring to outside documents, they could change. You don't have control over outside documents, so you don't want to do that. Okay, Marlene? Your hand was sort of inching up, and I thought maybe. All right, are we ready to move on to suggestions then? Okay, so we're just going to deal with the creation one first. We believe that God created all that exists, forming the physical universe over a period of 6 24-hour days. The creation account in the Bible is no allegory or figure of speech, but a true outline of God's activity in creation. God directly created all forms of life as fully functional, unevolved organisms, designing all to reproduce after its kind and allowing no reproduction across kinds by God's established law. The creation record is factual, historical, and clear. Thus, all theories of origins or development that involved evolution in any form are false. God sustains and orders all creation through his power and under his providential care. And so then I refer to Genesis 1, basically the whole chapter, and Genesis 6, Genesis 7, Exodus 20, and Colossians 1, 16 to 17. That's where it talks about Christ sustaining everything. Exodus 20 is scriptural proof of the 6 days. That's the Ten Commandments, where the law of the Sabbath has to do with, he says, in 6 days God created the heaven and the earth, so therefore you'll rest on the seventh day. So that establishes what God meant by the days of creation in Genesis 1. All right, any comments on this so far? As I was reading it, there's something that you guys had said earlier. I thought, maybe I should have had a little something in there about that. All right, go ahead, Lee. Yeah. Well, I don't think that, I don't want to get into defining when we talk about, when we use the term evolution, we don't really mean the so-called microevolution. Okay, and most people, nobody's thinking about that. So I think that it's a technical term, and it just, I don't want to try to have to define those terms within the document. I'm looking for my bulletin so I can keep notes of anything. Oh, there it is. Never mind, I found it. Keep notes here. So I'm not particularly concerned about that term myself. Cullen. Yeah, well, that's, well, it's... I'm trying to resist that suggestion. Okay, I'll have to think of a reason why. Okay, Emily, you're next.
Well, I think just by clarifying what according to their own kind, and if they're able to reproduce according to their own kind, that's sort of...
Yeah.
I mean, that's what...
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say there.
That was their purpose, was to reproduce after their own kind, and that's what they've been doing.
That's right, yeah. That's right. Right. All right.
I think John Baptist and C in the latter part of C sort of might have that in mind because they're saying development through intermediable periods of time from lower to higher form. I think it'll maybe.
Okay, Maureen's waving. She's really waving, so I got to let her talk. Yes.
Right, so and it's making it simple. Like it's clear that you're created the world.
Yes. I don't want to be too... See, the thing is, because... Okay, here's the thing. I don't want to make it too big. And we want to state it as clearly and succinctly as possible. Now, you don't want to leave out key things, but I know that several of you are well-read on this subject. So you know a lot of the issues and debates. But what we're doing here is we're not arguing something. We're not trying to make a case. We're not trying to prove something. We're trying to state essential belief. So you got to get that mindset. And so that might be part of the challenge here. Okay, Lee? But that's fine for you to push me. I don't mind that.
All right,
Lee. No, the purpose of this is not to get rid of scoffers. The purpose of this is to define what it means to be a member of our church and what we are saying we believe together, we agree on. So there are certain areas, even in some of these things, where Christians disagree. Now, there are Christians who believe in a long... they believe that God used evolution. Well... That's fine, but we're not going to tolerate that view here. And that's the main thing that we're trying to define. That in our assembly, in our group, we mean a six-day creation, direct act of God, no evolution. And so defining that essentially defines our fellowship. Somebody comes in and wants to become a part of our fellowship, they have to agree to that.
But are you okay with, like, let's say someone wants to do that, to say, like, oh, what we actually need here is, you know, like, is that okay? Like,
what do you mean?
Evolution, like, we don't mean, like a horse becomes an elephant or something like that. What we actually need is the macro.
Well, I don't think that that's the issue. I don't think anybody worries about, You see, the issue is, does God, or the, when the Toronto Statement says from lower to higher, that is the issue about evolution. That, you know, if you believe in the long age and all of that, then you believe in lower to higher. And I think that we are, so I think that we are preventing that view anyway, so I'm not certain that it has to be defined here. Maureen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think there are some people who would say that. Yes. 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 Okay, Marilyn's next. Well, that comes into the next section on man. Okay. Christy. Right. I understand that. That's a good point, and that is one thing that I thought perhaps I left out. However, it is in the next thing about man also. So, yeah, so, all right. Sonia, did you want to ask something? Well, okay, so there are... God created all the different species. Or is not species. Kinds. Species is a scientific term. Kinds is God's term. Okay, and so for example, you can't breed, you know, a dog and a cat. It doesn't happen. Okay, now obviously horses and donkeys are from the same kind because they can breed. Because of speciation, in my understanding, and I think that produces a mule, is that right? Okay. But mules, I understand, are sterile, is that right? Okay. I'm not 100% sure about all this. Some aren't, okay. But that's because in the speciation, the way the genetics have worked, this is my understanding, I'm not a scientist, okay, don't crucify me. They have departed, they're from the same kind, but they've departed far enough. They can still breed the donkey and the horse, but then the offspring cannot breed because they've lost genetic information. And so that's what we mean. So if you're in the same kind, you can breed. If you're outside of the kind, you can't breed. Okay, does that make sense? Well, it's like any law of order, law of creation. It's a law of creation. It's not a written down law. He didn't say, okay, this will never be. It's just, it's like the law of gravity or the law of any other observable law like that. All right? Yes. 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 Okay. Okay. I was hearing cross talk here. My wife, were you wanting to say something else? No. Okay. All right. Yes, I've heard that. I don't know if are they sterile also? Yeah. But anyway, yeah, that would be. Why would you want to do that? I'm not quite sure. You know, I can see breeding cats together, but well, maybe dogs. Anyway. I'm not a fan of cats. Okay, are we good to move on to the next section? Okay, so next we're going to talk about man. We believe that God created man on day 6 of the creation week, directly and not by any kind of evolutionary process. Now that is repetitive, but we also want to include it with man. God created man in his image and in a state of sinlessness as both a physical and spiritual being. We believe that man freely chose to transgress the will of God and thereby incurred sin, condemnation, physical and spiritual death, and all men so that man is a sinner by nature and by choice, completely depraved, and destitute of any moral good, and utterly unable to merit God's favor or contribute to his salvation. So I think there, see, this is where I bring in physical and spiritual death on all men. And there's the Romans 5 is one of the references, death by sin. And perhaps there should be something about the effect of the fall. See, we don't, the question is, part of what we're dealing with here, you know, there's overlap. We've got the doctrine of man, anthropology, and then we have the doctrine of the fall, or the doctrine of sin. And whether to have two separate categories or just to include them into one. So, one part of the doctrine of the fall is that the whole creation was marred. I need to put the effect of the fall into creation somehow. Because that was what Christy was contending for. And she's right, I'm not disagreeing. It is an important point. Okay. All right, any comments on what's said here? Remember, we can't say everything, but we do want to say the essentials. Yes.
I think sometimes there has to be a slight overlap.
Yes, of course, yeah. Yeah, and I'm not certain that we'd have a specific separate statement on the fall. I think that what we're putting here, I think you can combine that with man. I don't think, other than perhaps adding something to creation as well, to make it clear that all of creation is affected. I think that's important. But anyway, all right. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Rob?
There's a comment, yeah, like the first sentence, about man, not that there is directly and not by any kind of evolutionary process, because there are those who will say that the evolved, even creationists,
yes,
are Christians might say that.
Yes.
And that does sort of cover a little bit of what my concern was about the creation part, about, you know, defining what evolution is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 Okay. All right. Any other comments? Okay. Let me go now to the next clause, which is about gender and so forth. We believe that God created man as male and female, that creation determines gender, and deny any notion that gender is fluid or a social construct. God created man, male and female, in his image for the purpose of populating the earth and holding dominion over it. God created man, male and female, for the institution of marriage, which God intends as one man and one woman until death parts them. We thus deny the validity of so-called same-sex marriage and decry the tragedy of divorce that runs rampant among men. Though marred by the fall, God's essential purpose for creation remains the same. Now, on that, when I say we decry the tragedy of divorce, that means we mourn. Yeah, that doesn't mean that we reject people who have been divorced. So that was one thing I thought of as I was writing that. I wondered about that word. Decry means mourn. It is a tragedy. It causes untold problems. But God, by His grace, takes people where they are, gives them salvation, brings them into His church, helps them to grow in grace, and but still, we can't help but mourn that these troubles exist. So I guess that's the thing that I'm trying to say with that. I'm not sure if you have that same concern there. I also wondered, I had already printed these out and I didn't want to reprint them, But on that last sentence, though marred by the fall, God's essential purpose for creation remains the same. I thought about just taking the word essential out. I'm not certain it needs to be there. God's purpose for creation remains the same. And you don't want to give words, leave words in that give wiggle room, I guess. Yes, Maureen? Well, yes, but sometimes in statements you do need, because of the, this is somewhat driven, and I'm a little cautious about that. I hear what you're saying. It's somewhat driven by the current climate, which we hope is a period of insanity that will disappear after a period of time. But the, it is a, that is one caution. If we just simply say that creation determines gender and leave off and deny any notion that gender is fluid or a social construct, because that could become a dated statement. Okay, and people quit talking about that after a while. Yes, Lee?
But dated or not, a lot of these statements over the years have arisen because of conflict.
I understand that. And that's why I put it in there. So... I don't think it's a... I think it's, I mean, I do think it's important that we may be clear about what we're talking about. When we mean gender, we need to define what we mean by gender. Okay, man, I got hands everywhere. So I'll start at the front and work my way back. So Sydney has not said anything, I don't think so. Go ahead. Yes. What, so-called?
Yeah, because you're already saying that you're denying the validity of same-sex marriage.
Well, yes, I understand. The reason I put that in there is because we deny that it's even marriage.
Right.
Yeah. But, yeah, and it is sort of, when you use so-called, it's sort of a snarky term. Okay. However, the fact is that we deny that it's marriage. It isn't marriage. Okay. I don't care what the state calls it. They can... call it blue cheese, I don't care. It's not marriage. Okay, so, whatever. All right. Debbie, that's who you are. Oh, you're trying to get my attention so that Sydney could ask her question. You're helping her out. Okay. All right, Sonia did have her hand up. I know there's a debate on that. The Yes, I understand that. I think in reality, I'm not sure which is the most correct term. And I think and gender is really, in fact, is not a, it's a social term. It's not actually a, like sex is more of a concrete term. Biological, yeah. So that's a fair question. I'll write that down, and I'll do some reading on that. No, I mean it is. If you've read on this issue, there's a rabble-rousing Presbyterian brother who I quite like. His name is Tim Bailey, and he writes. Let me think. Called Warhorn Media is a website. He writes blogs there, warhornmedia.com or something. He used to call it Out of Our Minds, but anyway, he and his brother, I've known them for years, just online, not personally, but Tim Bailey is fierce, man, which is why I like him. But he really goes after this particular issue. All right, Maureen, I think, is next.
So, I guess in the sense of
Okay. All right, Rob. Well, I think that one of the reasons why I put it in is that sometimes those who are advocating same-sex marriage or anything, any other of these things, they say, well, you know, why don't you say anything about divorce? You know, they'd say, because what we're saying is that man has perverted marriage. And it's not to say, there are people who have been married to one woman, one man, for many, many years, and their own marriage, they have harmed the concept of marriage. They're not reflecting God's norm. So, I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying. I'm not 100% sure on that point. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, I think it's lately, many of the statements that have been put out, like there's the Danvers statement on marriage, and then there's another one, Chicago statement on inspiration, and they're pretty good statements. But they have affirmations and denials. So this is what we mean, this is what we don't mean. And they want to be absolutely clear. And because this is such a hot issue in our day, and there's all kinds of confusion, I'm trying to give a succinct statement that defines what it is that we're saying. So I understand what you're saying, though. Okay, Rob, or not Rob, whoever you are there, Glee. Right. Yeah, it seems like the culture normalizes it. It's what's depicted on television. This is the normal way of life. Everybody's had at least one, if not more, marriages. It should be. Anyway, Colin wants to say something.
I don't know if that's mentioned somewhere else.
Well, it isn't really, but I'm trying to be.
It's just there's so much.
There are so many issues, and the question is, how much do you define in a summary statement? So I'll write it down and I'll think about it.
Someone was like signing to join, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't think that. See, the thing is that anybody who we got through our whole statement here, this is not going to be an issue. Yeah. All right. Marilyn was trying to say something.
Instead of saying so-called same-sex marriage, just say aberrant.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Same-sex marriage. Well, that still says that it is
marriage. Yeah. I just want to. Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. I'll think about that too, Debbie. Well, that we stated above, God created man, male, and female for the purpose of populating the earth, holding dominion over it. God created man, male, and female for the institution of marriage. Okay. Lee.
Sorry, just going back to the creation statement.
Yep.
The creation account in the Bible is no allegory or figure.
Yep.
Like the negative there, is it worth mentioning like the literal? Or is it in
there? Well, when you say a true outline of God's activity in creation. I don't want to say that it expresses everything that happened in creation, because it doesn't. We don't know how it happened. So, But it's not an allegory. It's not a figure of speech. So, all right. And Marilyn. It doesn't mean, no, because that God created man as male and female for this purpose. It doesn't mean that he issued a law that said all must marry. And so what we're trying to define is, this is, what is man? Well, man is male and female. Okay, and so how did this work? So, but that's the purpose of creating man as male and female. For the institution of marriage, it's not. Yeah, I don't think. No. No. Which would all the single people wipe the sweat off their brow. Yes, that's right. All right. Any last comments? Okay. Yes.
And many times when a professor like I've written things I thought that was obvious what I mean.
Yes.
And someone manages to understand something different.
Yes.
So I like the thorough statement, just it makes it hard to misinterpret.
Yeah, that's hopefully. All right, Marlene had her hand up also. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. All right. All right. That's a good point. I see. I could just simply add, for the glory of God at the end or something. Okay. That's a good point. That sounds like very good. Anybody else like to add something? That's good. That's a good one to end on. I'm calling the question. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today, sober thinking. We know that this is an uneasy time in our world. And it appears that what we are talking about today is no longer acceptable public speech, and even in our country. And so, Lord, we pray that you would work in our nation. And we have an election coming up. And most of the leadership of this nation rejects what we're talking about here. And so, Lord, we pray that you would intervene and you would protect our freedoms, and that we would continue to follow you faithfully regardless of what happens with our nation. And that you would give us wisdom in our own personal lives about how to conduct ourselves in our society. Lord, we want to help people to come to you and grow in grace. And so we ask for your guidance. In Jesus' name, amen.